All right, so we are now recording.
Sorry, I'm still...
You're good?
...finishing the meeting I have this afternoon. Okay, everybody. We're going to call the Monument Square Landmark District Study Committee meeting to order. Today is October 29th. And it is 6:36. I'm Nancy Johnson. I'm the chair. And we'll start by going around and taking attendance and confirming that we have a quorum. Do you have the list of...
Yes. Oh, sorry. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Here's the list. Sorry. Right here at the bottom.
Oh, okay. Great. Crystal Galvin, you're here, right?
Yes. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Julie Hall, she had a family emergency but went to the nth degree to make sure we had access to the museum tonight. So we should all thank her next time we see her.
A very special thank you.
She went through really just a great hoops to get us in here tonight. Intia is not here. Nancy Johnson, I'm here. Linda Neshemkin?
Yep.
Yes. Ian? Amit Dana? Not here. Jeffrey Gagnon? Kirsten Hoffman?
Yep.
Fadi Samaha, Senam Kumahia, no, and Lindsay Mack Jones. All right, hey Lindsay, I'm waiting for you to bring your son. He was sworn in.
Frankly, I agree.
I need an assistant committee chair. So bring him along next time. Okay, awesome. All right, so let's see where we are. Okay, this is tonight's agenda. I don't know, can we focus that? Or maybe I just don't have good eyes.
No.
If everyone else can see it.
We're all doing our best.
Okay, so this is just tonight's agenda. We're going to review and vote on the minutes. We're going to have talk about the landmarks. Folks are going to fill us in on any public feedback that they've received since the last meeting. Reviewing the previously asked questions from last meeting. There were a number of questions that came up. Then we're going to go back into discussing the boundaries and the difference between boundaries and protection areas. And there are a number of handouts and maps this time, so we'll have them at our seats, which may be a little easier for people to look at. And then we will have talk about the public engagement event. We're still not going to talk about the...
Standards and criteria,
not terms and conditions. That will be our next meeting. So last time we had some discussion about where we were in the process. And so this is sort of the landmarking process, a big overview. And one thing that the landmarks folks did this week was they uploaded all the old slide decks to the website. So now the public can see the slide decks. So for those of you who are here and want to be able to look at this, it'll be up on the website. Is it boston.gov?
/ Monument Square. Couldn't be easier.
Yeah. So you see the petition was filed by a group of residents. I think it just required 6 signatures.
Ten
signatures. It was filed with Landmarks. I don't know, that maybe Elizabeth can talk about this part of it, but they had a preliminary hearing and decided to go forward. There was an appointment of the study committee. Names were submitted for it by different groups, by our Charlestown neighborhood liaison from the mayor's office, from I think Gigi's office. Those names were gone through, people were picked, and that list was approved by the mayor and then confirmed. We had to be interviewed by the city council, and then we were sworn in. So Oh, and we also had to take a training on conflicts of interest because we are unofficial city, unofficial unpaid city...
Special municipal employees.
Special municipal employees. So all of that stuff is stuff we had to have training on and sign about, and we have lots of paperwork about conflicts of interest. So, and none of us have any. And now we are in this study committee period. I have a pointer, don't I?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There it is.
There you go.
Oh, there we go. Woo-hoo. Oh, my God, my cat should be here. Okay, so this is where we are right now. So we've only gone like a teeny tiny bit of the way, and now we're having these meetings. And what these meetings are, these aren't like really public presentations like you would get with a developer through the planning group or something like that, where there's something final that people are seeing. You are sitting in on our working group meeting. So sometimes it's going to sound a little confusing because we're on our own process of discovery in terms of creating the committee report, which will include the boundaries of the landmark district, the protection area, and it will also include the standards and criteria.
We'll get you there one day.
Yeah, I'm on standards. I'm just still on conditions. So anyway, so that there'll be that report. So when we do our study report after a whole bunch of meetings that we'll have kind of with our own discovery of learning what should be in and out, talking to each other, and also getting some feedback at these meetings, having some community events, when we're ready to present certain pieces of it before we finalize the study committee, we will come up with a study committee report. That will have a 60-day public comment period. We can have a feedback hearing. We can make amendments to it. Then there'll be a final one, and then it goes to the mayor, and then it goes to the city council. So there's all of this area here for public comment beyond sort of the public comment that we can have when we, so if we set the boundary areas, maybe we have a public event for that, let people comment on it. So we'll get some feedback in here, we'll get a lot of feedback once we have the study, and then there's all these places along here where residents can influence the process. So we're very much in the beginning, and your questions, I think, are helpful because they help us in our discovery journey, makes us think of things that maybe we hadn't thought of. So we do appreciate the questions that people bring about the topics that we're discussing on any given night. But we are doing our work, so when we have people's comments at the end, it's because we're trying to get our work done as a working committee. Okay, so that's one thing.
I wasn't sure if this was going to be clear or not.
So this is the long list of meetings. And we're here. These include the boundary walks. I think this is tonight's meeting.
That's next meeting.
Oh, that's one above it. Okay. So this is tonight's meeting. This is only our fifth meeting. But we had kind of a break over the summer where we did boundary walks. And so the meeting we had at the beginning of October was really our first working meeting since last June. So bear with us. And then these are sort of, if we go to work plan, these are like the additional meetings. Mm-hmm. And again, this will be up on a slide deck, and it kind of is a tentative agenda for what we'll be talking at each one. Once we get to the boundaries, the standards and criteria, will I deserve a prize. standards and criteria will take up quite a number of these meetings, because that's like the meat on the bone. That's what the landmark commission will actually review when people are doing work at their homes and buildings within the landmark and the protection area are done. So, okay. So this is...
That was just a closer up.
Yeah, this is a closer up of tonight's meeting, which is already covered in the agenda. Okay, so here we are. We're ready to get our work underway now that we've kind of given a little framework here. So did everyone get a chance to look at the meetings minutes from the 15th?
Yes.
Okay. Can I get a motion to, does anyone have any comments or corrections for the meeting minutes?
No.
Okay. So can I have a motion to accept and approve the meeting minutes from October 15th?
So moved.
Okay. Okay, a second? Awesome. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any opposed? None. All right, so success on item number one. Okay, so now we're going to hear a little bit from the Landmark staff about public feedback they've received since the last meeting, and then if any study committee members have received comments to themselves that directed at them, they can share as well. So,
So in the past 2 weeks, we didn't get any specific comments, directed to the committee to be read into the record or anything like that. I will let you speak on emails that you have, any study committee members have received. I know Nancy got one from a constituent. And I would say, aside from not having received like a formal public comment for the meeting, we have just been hearing about communications and just ways to get meeting notices in the newspaper and more social media avenues just to help get the message around more. So thank you also to the committee members who have reached out to organizations they know of or are part of in Charlestown just to help kind of find ways to spread the word about what we're doing.
Yeah, and in terms of notice, I don't see it specifically on the agenda, but all of the next meeting dates that have been shared to the committee members have actually been posted on the city's public meeting notice website, so they're already out there. So hopefully other city agencies won't try to schedule over us. We're first in right, first in time. But that's already out there for people to see. They'll be posted on the website. And I believe this week we got it into the happenings section. Mm-hmm. Did you see that right? Mm-hmm. So it was in the Patriot Bridge under the happenings section. There'll be an ad when we're ready to
Yes, there will be an ad. I forget the first day that it's going to get run, but yes, we have that squared away with the Patriot Bridge.
Okay, great.
And we sorted out a schedule for like when it will be posted, how often it repeats, until when, mm-hmm. and we can always do additional ads for public engagement events as necessary.
Okay, and I want to thank the Landmark staff because they had to push that through. Anything that they publish has to be approved by other agencies in the city in terms of what's being said and all of that. So they pushed that through in the last 2 weeks, I think, at lightning speed. So I appreciate it. And we are well within any of the notice period requirements. There, one of the comments I got an email complaining that people weren't getting 2 weeks notice of meetings. That's not required. The city only requires 48 hours. We've been doing our best when we were trying to schedule. Now that we're scheduled way out, people are going to have way more than 2 weeks' notice. But 2 weeks' notice is not valid. A couple of people have said they want us to flyer for every meeting. That doesn't happen for any city meeting or gathering that I'm aware of. We have talked about flyering, but probably saving it for the community engagement event. Usually, my understanding is that when their study committee report comes out, a mailing goes out to everyone in the monuments, in the Landmark District and the Perfection Area. So there will be a direct mailing. We are talking about whether we can do an earlier one just to let those people know that it's on the radar. But it's, you know, that would be out of course and it's not required. So we're already exceeding the notice requirements that of any public meeting. We are looking at ways to communicate even more. I did also receive as part of that email a demand that we hold a meeting about the battlefield, which is outside our purview and not something that is on our agenda. There is a group in town that talks about the battlefield and folks are more than welcome to talk to that group about any issues they have about the battlefield. That's just not, it's not within the scope of the legislation or the application that was made. So I think largely we've addressed a number of the questions from last time about notice, and those have been the only comments I've got, and I've sort of redirected them as needed. So has anyone else had any comments that they've received or talked to people about things?
Just the request that we flyer before the next public engagement session, which I think we all agree.
Yeah, we will do that,
so
definitely.
Yeah, and
support for that.
Yeah. So I think that I mean, our first real public engagement thing will be, you know, that's something we're talking about at the end. The boundary walks weren't something we flyered because that was really just, you know, out for notice. But and it's just as lucky we didn't, because we got the weather did not cooperate at all.
Canceled, reschedule how many times?
I mean, it's crazy. You know, so there's only so much flyering that can be done. And I think one of the things people understand when the flyering gets done for things like Zoning Board of Appeal, that's the developer has to do that. So, like, the city doesn't have staff to do that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, and in that case, it has a requirement about how, you know, the distance or whatever.
Exactly.
You have to cover.
Right. And it's not a very big distance either.
And that's 300
feet. So, I think, you know, I don't know of any other city things that are flyered. So, I think even just doing it is a pretty big step. So, again, not something that's required. So, if we're doing it, and especially if we have to have the committee members do it, then if we, you know, think about how far and wide and how many times you want to fly your meetings. So,
Nancy, I'm just going to add to the record.
Sorry.
I'm just going to add to the record really quick that Intia has joined us.
Okay. Oh, so. Intia, hi. Questions, and this is the staff is handling these.
Yes, and I forgot to print out a bit. That's okay. So, for the first question, does the protection area need to be defined at the same time as the landmark area? It should be, and would be easiest to do so that way, in my opinion. I suggested that we can include options in the study report under alternative approaches and include that in our recommendations. So when the study committee talks about the alternative approaches to designating the district, you'll talk about basically everything in summary we've talked about now. Do we want to designate the original boundary? Do we want to do the original boundary and a protection area? Do we want to change the original boundary? You'll talk, we have been and will be talking about those ideas and developing them. And one of our recommendations may be that we would want a protection area designated at the same time as a landmark area, and we would move forward that way. Does that sound right to you guys?
Yeah, I would just add that kind of the reason it's our staff recommendation is that if the protection area is not established at this time, in order to add it later, it would have to be like another petition, another study committee, another report, and go through this whole process. And so it can be done, but it obviously is much more efficient if the study committee feels it's appropriate to just do it as part of this process.
Yes, Linda. Question, in that case, it probably means that one would need to study and define the protection area criteria that you want to set at the same time. So it's better than thinking all of that.
That's right. It can be a holistic discussion.
Yeah.
You know, the landmark standards versus the protection area standards, you know, all in one conversation.
I'll answer the next question and then I'll hand this out. But so the next question, will a protection area eliminate the existing NDOD, which stands for Neighborhood Design Overlay District, if anyone's not familiar? Will a protection area eliminate the existing NDOD jurisdiction, which regulates more elements than a protection area does?
Sure.
So the NDOD for Charleston is quite large. them, anything that is not within a landmark or protection area, the NDOD would stay in place. Okay. And the NDOD gives the urban designers, urban planners, and the planning department some overview on the design elements of any projects happening in the NDOD. The protection area, the way that we've had protection areas work in the South End and Four Point is that you do not get design review over projects, but you can stop a building from being demolished. And with an NDOD, you cannot stop a building from being demolished. If a building is demolished, for example, in the South End, if it's a contributing building in the South End protection area, they have written their study report in such a way that the commission then does receive design review over the new building that's going to be put in its place. And of course, the landmark area, that is the highest review, and so everything else goes away, and it'll just be the standards and criteria for the landmark area. So the NDOD stays for anything that we do not include within the landmark area and the protection area. But it's a bit of a trade-off, right? So NDOD gives you a lot of design review over existing structures, and whereas the protection area does not give you that level of design review. I know last time we were talking about windows and ornamental pieces on buildings. But in an NDOD, we cannot, beyond our Article 85 demolition delay, we can't stop a demolition happening in an NDOD.
Question about, so I'm coming at this from the angle of someone who like deeply believes in the housing production overall and housing crisis. Would that ability, and I realize not everyone agrees with me on that goal, would that ability for the landmark sort of commission to oversee the construction of a new building where there's been demolition of a contributing building, would the landmark commission regulate like density and height, or just
not
characteristics of design?
Not density. I mean, height, yes, but density, no.
I mean,
I know. Well, but I mean,
but legally,
they're. Yeah, legally, we're never going to talk about units. We're never going to talk about owner or renter, whatever. Like, I know that they are, like, very intrinsically hand-in-hand related, but the way...
But FAR and height,
yes. Yeah, and FAR is a great example, because in the South End, what they have done for their protection area is that they just have absorbed all the FAR regulations for heights in, like, Harrison Ave, Albany Street, all that, so that we just have to reference those maps. So it says, like, oh, the height limit here is 120 feet, then we just say our height limit is 120 feet.
Okay.
Like, we didn't make anything different. But that was what the South End Commission wanted to do.
So it doesn't necessarily, we could make it so that it's not more restrictive on, like...
So you also, in theory, let's say the commission reviews a building for demolition in the protection area, and the commission says... this is a contributing building, and we all vote and agree it's a contributing building, and we also are voting to approve the demolition of it. Those votes happen, and then at that time, they make a decision, and usually they go in the end of full district standards and criteria, but they don't have to. They can choose to implement that, or they could say, no, whatever. It's up to them.
Can Landmark district height under the standards and criteria be lower than the allowed zone height?
Are you asking for the landmark or the protection?
Generally,
start with landmark. You know, so we have these standards and criteria, right? Say that allowed height is 50 feet, and we say it's 40 feet.
Yes.
Does that mean you can only build the 40 feet?
Correct. Yeah, that's it. And I'm going to keeping a broken record and keep using the South End as an example, South End height limit is 70 feet. You can get approved through zoning for way higher than that, but just because zoning has approved something doesn't mean that the commission has to approve it. So that someone could go, zoning said it's fine if my building's 100 feet, and then the South End committee can say, our guidelines say 70, so take down.
I guess I'm thinking in terms of, okay, not a variance, just the zoning as a right is 50 feet, but the landmark district said 40, then that would control.
When
I'm not thinking of a variance, because that's something outside of the zoning.
When applicants submit a permit application to the Inspectional Services Department, that gets in the system, but sorry, I should rephrase that. When they send an application to us, our requirement is that all other city agency approvals have been received.
Right, we're last.
So if something, does that like kind of help answer that in a way? I mean, it provides some guidance.
I think what he's, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what he's asking is like, so right now, if on Charlestown from Monument Ave, the zoning reg says, as of right, you can build a 50-foot building. Can we set our standards and criteria to say you can only build a 40-foot building?
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Okay. Yeah. So we can supersede the zoning.
Yeah.
Right. If that's what you're really asking, right? Protection
too, or just no? I don't think we can, like, go over zoning, right?
No. Well, we can't, but I think that is where you get into. If you want to go over zoning, then you're going to zoning and getting a variance.
Right, that's
then that's in there. No, I know, but your general, like, okay, as of right, period, you can create whatever.
Because I think, so now, if the height is set at 40 feet or they incorporate in the 50 foot, which is the actual zoning, so whatever's in the standard and criteria, if we also said, because height is one of the things that can be controlled in the protection area,
right.
We can also set that same height limit for the protection area.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes, okay. You can do that.
Is that?
I
have a question about the process, though. If you're saying that you come last, if it's gone through and, you know, the first place it goes is the planning reviewer at ISB, and he'll check off, yes, it meets the zoning. But is he aware at that time also that the particular piece is in the district, and therefore
yes.
Will he flag that?
If, yes.
For example, you know, the district says we won't allow it to go above 40.
Yeah, it will come to us because it will be a sort of geographic flag in the computer system.
Uh-huh.
So someone will see that, and it'll get picked to historic review, yeah. And then at that time, they need an application, you tell them, submit your application.
So then obviously it's clear that instruction needs to be very clear to people who are sitting down and start designing something,
yeah.
Or they can end up spinning their wheels.
Or even if you're just a homeowner and you need to do a permit
exactly.
For something,
yeah.
It will get flagged,
mm-hmm.
And then the homeowner will be told. So district boundaries. So we're going to review the consideration of expanding the boundaries of the proposed Monument Square Landmark District. And there are a couple of handouts, one of which is the difference. So there's a this handout that shows side by side a landmark district and a protection area.
This is one of our shots.
Yeah, but it's just so you can have it in front of you. And then we're also going to have, there are a couple of maps. One is the Monument Square landmark district as filed in the proposal or in the petition. One shows the 1200. Do you need some help passing those out?
Here. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Do you guys want one?
I have some extras.
And these are on the sides.
And they will be on the
picture. This is just what I.
have a map in front of you. I don't know.
And I'm a paper person. I pray for everything.
No, it's great, especially for, you know, for new teachers to take notes and draw on with your ideas and thoughts as we discuss.
And I also have the two routes from our walking adventure. I don't even know what to call it.
Okay.
I keep calling it a tour, but it's not really a tour.
A lot of boundary blocks.
Okay. Yeah. If you could pass it down, that would be good.
So take, just pass down the two together. Yes. They're like in pairs. So
yeah, sorry.
That's okay. Because we did two different walks, so.
Oops, sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we should all have landmark district and protection area criteria, a study committee working draft map, 1,200 feet from the original boundary map, an original boundary map, and then the two walking tour maps. More maps than you could want, but I'll use it. Okay.
And I have extras of everything if anyone needs it.
And just a reminder, if you're looking at the map, it's at 1,200 feet. That is the protection area. That's how far out we can go from a landmark. That's just to illustrate what it could encompass.
Yeah, and it looked like that it's, so if we extend the landmark district, it's 1,200 feet from any border of the landmark district.
Yes, and one thing I'll add, I have our map from the last time, but you'll actually see that the 1,200 feet radius around the original boundary actually does encompass what we were talking about already at the last meeting, but I will be happy to draft up another expanded 1,200 feet tomorrow.
This looks like 1,200 foot radius,
right,
from the center of the,
yes,
of the
no,
this one is from the edge.
Original edge. So from the edge of this one,
right?
Yeah.
But is how we get this one, right?
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be more? Oh, I see. So it really is.
It's the right? Yeah.
From
really
the last one.
Okay. So you actually are. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is much bigger, so this would be much
bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have it fixed in the slides, but I didn't.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay. So on this study committee working draft, can I just ask a question? So the pink area here, is that additional area that we're proposing to include in the landmark district, or you're thinking that's where you think the protection area should be?
Yes, protection area would be the red.
Protection.
Yes.
Okay.
When we get to the...
Okay, so you did already.
So this,
yes,
is this is as far as we could go. This is sort of what they're saying might be more feasible.
But so if we expanded the original proposed boundary, then that would obviously make the 1,200 feet bigger, and I don't have that for today. But I have a picture of it.
Okay.
Is that okay, Nancy? Sorry.
If you want to jump ahead, then you can take a look at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it
all done? What is it you want to look at?
We'll get there.
One more.
Yeah, I fixed it. So that is the
that includes the training field.
This is what the committee had talked about last time, potentially expanding the boundary to be.
Uh-huh.
But what I
landmark.
The landmark now.
The landmark boundary.
Gray and black is landmark.
Gray and black is landmark boundary. Red is protection area. But this does not, the red doesn't show the total possibility of 1,200 feet around from including this. It still, it's just this right now. But for our next meeting, the slide with the orange circle on it, because that is where we see.
Can you go stop there? Can you go back 1 minute? So the difference between what we had last time and go forward one more, you can see that Chris had talked about this area, and so if you extend the landmark district down, you extend the protection area as well. Does that make sense?
But yes. We don't actually have to.
We don't have to extend the protection area.
We don't have to.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we don't have to worry about it because it's already that little section that's added on is already encompassed in the 1,200 feet.
Possibility.
Yes.
So it's not dependent on
exactly
the training field to get that little bit. Exactly.
Thank you, Anthea. Yes.
Also, we don't have to do a protection area.
Correct.
Either.
Correct.
Right.
You guys have a lot of interesting.
There's so many possibilities.
So I think, you know, what we wanted to illustrate is what you had outlined last week, too, with the training area as a potential landmark, as a potential area within the landmark district.
All right, so that takes us back to, we're going to go through some of the options. We've already kind of fast-forwarded through some of the options, but I think we could talk about the difference of the landmark versus protection area. We've been doing a little bit of that, but I don't know if you guys want to take us through these slides rather than me reading them off. Is this?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, just to recap, so obviously we're not talking here about an individual landmark, so scratch that first bullet point, but for districts, there are three types of designations. So the Architectural Conservation District typically is defined at the significance of the local level and a little bit lighter in its standards. This Monument Square petition was for a landmark district, so that's why we're doing that study. But, you know, if that is an option on the table, the study committee technically can say we recommend it's actually an architectural conservation district. But a landmark district is typically an area with significance above the local level, and as well as this area rises to that level. And then, of course, the protection area is adjacent to either a landmark, the landmark district, or an ACD. And if you want to keep going, we have
okay.
The definitions.
So the things that we're going to be talking about are these two down here,
right?
Okay.
And so landmark districts, we talked about this last time, but we did add a little more information to this. And this is a handout right here.
The next one, I didn't print this one out. The
okay.
Next one with the excerpt is printed.
Gotcha, okay. So basically, the landmark district, as we talked about, can do design review for alterations. So that includes things like windows or ornaments, you know, things that we consider character-defining features. And it can also recommend demolition, whereas a protection area can only restrict demolition, land coverage, height, landscape, and topography. But as we talked about last time, demolition, like, doesn't necessarily mean full demolition. It could be a partial demolition can come under that category. And I didn't know this, but Gabby taught me this, that the standards and criteria can also require that any new construction on a demolition site would meet the landmark district criteria, which is what's on the left. So you have a little more design review over that. And I think the next slide is probably the legal thing.
So this kind of gets to the point, I think someone raised it the last meeting, one of the committee members, that you see these buildings where they just leave a facade, but it's not considered demolished, and
right.
So they can kind of do whatever they want to get around what's in the protection area. So by defining 25% or, you know, percent of the building or a dollar amount or whatever it is, you can make sure that, you know, they're not doing a, you know, it's demolition and everything, but like the facade, and then they build a glass tower behind the facade or something like that. So I think that's it's a good tool to have in the toolbox. And so all of these things are things that we can decide what they are, right? What is land?
They're defined. So these do have definitions already.
Uh-huh.
I don't know the technical.
That's something
like
we have to.
A lot is covered by setbacks.
Yeah, and I think this can be a deliverable for staff on how flexible protection area criteria can be, because this is why Pass Out Chapter 772 also is there. Our enabling legislation says what protection areas can regulate, and that'll be on the next slide, but
for our districts that that do have protection areas already, the criteria are copy and paste. They are exactly the same, aside from the one district doesn't have the line in there about reviewing new construction to the district criteria. But they're all identical for the most part. But demolition, I think, is the thing that we have. We can definitely have flexibility with defining.
So you had sent around links to the standard and criteria for a couple of the districts,
yes.
Sort of like a heavily regulated medium and very lightly regulated.
Mm-hmm.
How many committee members, we'll just show of hands so it isn't on the tape,
head
but
down.
How many people have had a chance to go through those?
I've started.
Okay. All right, so I think reading through those, and I'll send a note to the people who aren't here, but reading through those will be really helpful because it starts to give us something to, like, it's a hook to hang our hat on, so to speak, in terms of, like, what we, you know, we can read the regulations, but how does it actually look, right? So by starting to go through those and look at them, we can start to have some hooks and ideas of what we can do. And I welcome the staff's comments, but I think this is an area where we have to do a little self-study as a committee before we engage in a lot more conversation about the standards and criteria. It'll just be helpful to us and move the conversation along, I think, more quickly.
So I sent some to all the committee members a while back, but I think I'll send you guys also the three districts that have protection areas, just in case you want to look at that one part and see how that might look differently.
How many districts don't have, like, versus have but or have not protection
areas? So
we have areas?
10 districts, 3 have protection areas, 7 don't. South End, Fort Point Channel, and Eustis Street.
Yeah. Those are the ones we have to protect.
Yes, Fort Point Channel is a protection area, South End, and then a very small district that doesn't have a commission called the Eustis Street Landmark District and protection area.
It's
not an ECD. Isn't it ECD? I think it is an ECD, actually. Eustis Street, ECD, and protection area.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you think historically, does that have anything to do with the other, I mean, if you look at Beacon Hill, is all of Beacon Hill within the landmark district? Or is that a question
for them?
Honest answer?
It pretty much is.
Tell me why I never had to have a separate protection area.
The South End Protection Area is the sort of more industrial, like, SOA sort of part. Harrison, Albany.
The Flower Market along Albany.
Yeah. And then Fort Point Channel, I think, is the A Street area, is the protection area around Fort Point. Yeah.
Oh.
It wasn't the point or anything. And this is what I handed out also to the committee members. This is some excerpts from Chapter 772, our enabling legislation, that starts to get into some of the nitty-gritty about our legislation and our regulations and what we can and can't do.
When we got our sort of like original packet of materials that looked at the types of buildings around Monument Square, and it's sort of based on that plan development that occurred around the monument with a couple of, you know, types like Georgian or, you know, Greek
mm-hmm.
Revival
yeah.
or whatever it was. So is that kind of falling under D, which is embodied distinctive characters of a type inherently valuable for the study of a period, style, or method? Is that sort of where the petition falls?
I would say A as well, because it's a National Register district, and definitely B. It's, you know, the craftsmanship and the design of a particular period is like a style is, I think, A and D are the best criteria.
Yeah. And have you explored C, which is the significant lives of outstanding historical personages?
I don't think identified like that, you know.
Right.
coherently linked with the original thesis.
Right.
That's the issue.
There's not really like I don't know. I mean, like, please correct me if I'm wrong, but there's not like a real cause and effect. If we
yes.
also we like put C in there as a criteria, like that wouldn't mean like, oh well, then we can do this now, or now we can't do that. Like
yeah.
it's immaterial. It's as long as it meets a criteria.
Right. And another way to think of it is like we've discovered like, oh, this famous person lived in this house in Monument Square, but like that's not the reason for the district. Like the reason for the district is really D. And I think we could also argue B as well, because representing an aspect of some of the economic and social history is like
the would be
the thing plan
yeah.
development.
Made the thing.
You know, that's
mm-hmm.
like, yeah. you know, you're looking at history. So,
yeah.
I don't think we would go for C as a reason for the district.
Yeah, that's because it doesn't link to the rest of the
like, yeah.
Okay.
Any sort of more questions around these criteria so far from the committee members?
772 has some other little mentions about rules for districts and protection areas. It's in the shared drive for the study committee, and it is Control F searchable. So feel free to just like search protection area in there if you wanted any more information. But what about views of? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah,
okay,
I'm just trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, because I guess like when you're on, so if you go to the slide where you have the expanded landmark district to include the training field, you still didn't include in that, for instance, Monument. And I think where you're going with it is that like during the walk and when you're experiencing it, there's not a lot of distinction, even in the building typology, between what's around the monument and what is on Monument Ave.
Yeah.
Whereas, at least going this side, where we are now, versus if you go down the other side, yes, it starts to be pretty different pretty quickly, but on this side, it's extremely coherent architecturally with what's around the monument. So, like, why wouldn't maybe the question is more, can you remind us why didn't we end up including like monument?
Then I have a wrench.
The only one, but.
I have a real wrench to throw in this.
Well, can I make a comment? Just
then I won't.
Like on the box,
I'll do it later.
There was a lot of talk of like, this makes sense. Sure, you can include this. You can include that. This makes sense because of this. And for me, to come in and see this as a suggestion from staff is like major whiplash from what we talked
about. That's the petition.
That was the suggestion from staff that the landmark district be this back to the original proposal. With the protection district.
That was
you were on my watch. Help me out.
That's sort of what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Wasn't there some question about whether the case under the enabling legislation, whether the case would be made for some of these other streets based on when buildings were built or built by whom, and that type of thing, because it has to tell a story that, my understanding is, the whole district has to tell a story that matches up with the criteria in the enabling legislation. So I don't know if that's true.
Gold star for you, Ian.
That's my record.
I will just say this also, is that in consideration, you know, when we looked at the steps in the process that Nancy had up there, you guys come up with the final recommendations, and you know, even if the Landmarks Commission says, great, yes, we approve, we're sending it forward, you still have a stop at the mayor's desk and you have a stop at city council. Mm-hmm. And then also this is kind of the public feedback too, like if people want it or not. So these are also things to consider. Now, Gabby, I think the other thing, and I don't know, you know, I think we're talking about everything from a public way, visible from a public way, so taking that into consideration.
So I think there are a lot of pieces in the site piece. So like there's within, like what should be in the landmark district itself, like in terms of buildings, and that needs to tell some coherent story. And that isn't just about sight lines. That's about like what's the story of what's in and what's out of the district. The protection area can protect the views, like just like it says right on the thing here, views going out of the landmark district. That's one of the reasons you don't want towers built around it. You don't want someone building right at the edge of your landmark district, building a 60-foot tower, although some other areas have decided not to try to do something like that. And then within the landmark district itself and the standards and criteria, it's like, what are we actually regulating within the landmark district? And that's like just what we see from the street, just what we can see from ground level and the street or from a corner, but not necessarily, like I know when we were walking around the Monument Square, like that street going down to the training field, those houses on the corner there, which feel very much part of Monument Square, weren't included in the original landmark petition because they weren't part of that original development, but they are very much of the time period and very much of the, like when you look at them, it just feels like they belong in there.
But that's why the staff for that one at least felt like that argument was doable, right?
So, yeah, I agree. There were a lot of places that we saw on the walks that people felt kind of belonged in there, or if that something was built there again, they would want it to fit more back into the neighborhood than it does now. Like that building with the two like very tiny Greek pillars at the front door that are about this tall.
Yeah.
Like it would be nice to see them to try to do something better with that facade at some point. But you know, so yeah, I think there are like it's hard. It's sort of like. You know, area protection area versus landmark district. It's the what are we looking like? What's the site thing? So site in terms of what we're regulating, or site in terms
site
of
site at the corner of like High Winthrop. Mm-hmm. It looks very different than it does over in Tremont. So I mean, we just have to that I remember that part of the law.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so we can see a lot beyond the front of this building. So
how far do we want to take it?
Right.
So
and how you regulate it.
Right.
And are those buildings like fitting, do they feel like the ones going down to the training field that they feel like they belong in the district?
Right, and they're right
there.
One of the most extreme examples, because I do think Monument Ave where we are seated currently. It's kind of the most extreme version of this, of like, why wouldn't it be in the landmark area? Can you talk a little bit about how staff made a determination to not include that in the recommendation?
I would say that it's not like a formal recommendation, and it's like a working recommendation based off of committee feedback as we've been evolving, and it's kind of a snowball.
To Ian's point, it's like looking back at, because you guys did that sort of historical research legwork, thank you, on like which buildings were sort of part of PDAs or not. Do you have, I know that's not part of your presentation right now, but it was in last.
I think about where we were trying.
This
one? Yeah.
This one?
Because again, Monument Ave there, and very much so, it like has a lot of the colored boxes, right? And I think, to your point, on the walk and sort of in the conception of the neighborhood, like what is very obviously historic and part of the monument view, this street is that, right?
Yes.
I think the problem we realized with this is that if you continue outside of these boundaries, though, you're going to see more of these clusters. And so it got back to that question of where do we stop?
Because we're just looking.
Yeah.
This is just me making a big
charge for Monument Ave, for this side of Monument Ave right now, because it very easily meets the criteria. And I think just experientially to the neighborhood, it feels so awesome.
And now it's totally within this group for you to
talk about. Yeah.
You're doing it. You're doing the study committee.
So this is the thing. We kind of have our contacts. We know what we're talking about. We know what that sense of place is. And, you know, what I'm hearing, like last time we heard, it should come down and include the training ground. And now what we're hearing is, well,
that was for me. I don't know.
But it's just like anything. You look at it again.
Yeah, very evolving. I mean,
I feel like there has been a little feedback about people not having intellectual history as well. So then I think we took that into account and thought, is that one way to kind of help us compromise? Where
that sounds so compelling to me on Monument Ave, because I'm like, if you live on Monument Ave currently, you'd have to find the family that has been here intergenerationally and is going to have a hard time with the restrictions. Like, I don't believe it. I think those people are off this block.
But we're a committee that's putting together a historic landmark district. Like, I feel like to come out, you have to swing for what you want in the built environment, and then at a public open house, let people say, this is too big, this is not big enough, we don't like this. I feel like to pull back, like, maybe people won't like it, I don't like, you know, people should swing for what we really want for the built environment.
Shoot higher.
Sitting every 2 weeks and watching developers come and demolish things on landmarks has given me a different kind of view of this.
But that is why the study committee is set up the way it is, so that there is local input, but then there's, you know, experiential input from commissioners who serve on a commission. So, that is why we balance it out like this.
I'm super happy to hear people say, we agree with you on the request.
So if it goes, I sort of agree with swinging wider, you know, at least with our initial proposal. I was, you know, on the walks, I was kind of sold on expanding the district itself. But in terms of, like, so say we get, you know, I heard you saying it almost as a word of a caution, Elizabeth, about it still has to go to the mayor and the city council. But I also sort of think, like, so say we get all the way through and we get through and our study committee report is a much larger landmark district area. If they don't approve it, is that the end of it, or can it come back and we can revise it? Like, that's my question. So, like, is it, like, now dead in the water and someone would have to refile a petition and start over? So say it goes to the mayor, and the mayor says, this is too big, and I'm not going to sign off on it.
Yeah, you can petition, like, people in the community would have to petition again, but in the legislation it says, like, not within 1 year.
There's some sort of time frame, but there's been, like, three petitions for the second.
Yeah, you can petition again in
even saying public. Yeah, I'm not. I wouldn't want to send something because we're going to have comments on the draft.
Right,
and
we
can't redraft. So what I'm just saying, it gets to the mayor's office. The mayor might just be like, "This is too big," and because she's listening to other constituencies beyond the neighborhood, right? And so are the city council members, frankly. So they have people in their ear all the time about we need more units and we should. It can't be that protected because how are we going to build and all of this stuff? Because their economic interests are different than what's in the landmark district.
But again, I mean, as far as...
So why would the mayor say no to it? Only if there's public opposition? Or
we don't always get
a
mayor.
Just say no?
We don't always... It, when that, it's
not,
happened, we don't get
a... You know, I'm just saying, like, the commission has to vote on it, and then the mayor, and then the city council. Mayor might just sign it, and you get to city council, and there's enough residents in the district who are pressuring city council at large, you know, and your city councilor to not send it forward. You know, it is part of just the process of this. But I think if you guys were to go for, like, swing big, work on your standards and guidelines, and take it to public
comment
and have our big public
before
engagement.
We even have it's public. Yeah, no, and we're going to do public engagement, Crystal.
Yeah.
I would never be like, we're going to just deliver something everyone hates.
No,
but
no. I mean, that can still happen, and that's okay, as long as we do our due diligence to communicate and solicit feedback from the people that are in the
people always show up at the final hearings for everything in the city.
No, like, but
we
can do that now
before
we, you know, and explain. I think there's still a lot of, like, misinformation about the intentions or the definitions and so on. So it's still a public education campaign.
Well, and
be a part of
and I think a lot of misinformation about where we were in the process. That's why we did more of the timeline here at the beginning. So, yeah, no, I agree.
To her point, I think there was a lot more creativity and thinking things through. We haven't had a chance to, like, follow up on. I don't know what the other walk was like, but there were several of us on the
second
one. Yeah, and so there was a lot of interest in exploring the sort of the sight lines versus the. We didn't really get too far into the tech area, but there was a lot of discussion.
We didn't even come out at all.
Okay, you know, like.
Well, you know, I think.
There was no feedback, no opportunity to talk about it.
I think what you are pointing out, though, like, I think is that the walking tours, like, did their job because the reason we did that so early on and to look around the proposed boundary and look around a little bit larger is to get everyone's wheels turning and thinking very critically about the designation, like, very holistically, thinking about standards and criteria when you're actually standing right in front of a house, thinking about the study report. So even if, I mean, we will have more. There's so much more that we can and will do as a study committee, but I think that it achieved the goal of making, like, you're now sitting here and saying, I think Monument Ave should probably be included, or Pleasant, or whatever. Like, if we didn't do walking tours, we wouldn't have these thoughts.
Now,
right?
If you guys hear about it and are strongly opposing it, then I'm not going to be like, rah-rah, let's do it. But I think you should at least consider, because of the obvious connection.
Yeah. Well, and I also think one of the reasons we thought we gave a lot of thought to expansion was when Landmarks was at the mayor's coffee hour, they had a map up and they said, where do you think it should be? And people were pulling it way out of Monument Square.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, they got a lot of comments around that. So I think, wasn't preservation going to give you some data on buildings about ages and types and stuff like that? I remember Amanda saying she was going to give you a map that preservation had developed.
The only map she gave us was it was a National Register boundary
She
did get that to us.
Yeah, she had some other data on buildings that might be helpful.
Oh, she said someone else
who
wasn't at the meeting had the data on buildings, and she was going to ask them, but I don't know who that person was.
Because I was thinking that might be helpful information to the study committee, too, so we can kind of understand. Because we can look at a building and say it feels like it should be in there, but it'd be good for us to sort of understand and look at the original report we got about on the buildings to see how that fits. So just for ourselves and our due diligence, if they have that.
I do want to leave room for public comment, which is going to take. But this might be a point in time where we table talking about the boundaries and we start doing
I do.
Then that'll propel you to think, like, what are we regulating?
They're inherent. Like, you, I think you said this, like, you can't talk about one without the other, which we are seeing. And I think that this has, we've spent a good amount of time talking about boundaries, talking about the district.
Before you go on, can I say something about the boundaries?
Yes, please. Please, Ian.
So what struck me on the walk was that a sense of, like, where does this end?
Right.
Because we were asked to study the Monument Square district. And then we start saying, oh, these houses over here on Woodcook Street, they look kind of like it. And then some over here on Elm Street. Like, there's always going to be an end. And then there's going to be something similar on the next street.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, how come that isn't? So I struggle with that. It's like, where does it end? And we were asked to study the Monument Square Landmark District. And to me, that reads around Monument Square. You know, and I agree that a lot of the monument buildings look like the buildings on Monument Square. You know, that reads the same to me, as well as some of the things around the training field. But as we're walking around, getting kind of far afield, and I'm like, well, this isn't Monument Square anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about? And how, like, how far do we go? And how do you draw the line?
I think it's a valid point. I think the confusion or, like, the creativity or what have you was more around to the point of where does it end when it's the sight lines you're talking about.
But the sight line doesn't have to be the land in the landmark district. The sight lines could be in the protection area, and that's one reason you have a protection area instead of land.
We didn't even approach that conversation.
Well, right. So, yeah. Again, it's a valid point, though. Otherwise, we're trying to face the whole town.
So,
that's my two cents.
Yeah. Does anyone else have a comment before we move on to public comment? I just want to make sure everyone's had a chance.
I just have one question. So, as you think about landmark district boundary protection area, standards and criteria is next, but is an element of the standards and criteria figuring out what is a contributing building, what is a contributing feature, and what is not a contributing feature, which might make it a little easier when you're thinking about what your boundary is, because you're also going to be then deciding what's contributing and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there'll be a data table of all the properties. I haven't heard of this, but it was, they were labeled like within your style and whether it's contributing or not, so.
I also think, like, my two cents was that when the South End Landmark District Commission, in the past couple of years, they only recently developed, like, a one-pager of significant features that are specific to the South End. And that has been, honestly, so helpful to be able to share with developers, to share with constituents, with anyone, just so that they don't do all this work and come to the commission and they're like, well, where's your cornice? And they're like, we didn't know you cared that much about it or something. That would, I think, be really helpful to explore later on in standards and criteria, too.
Yeah. So then a little less worried about where the boundary actually is.
Yeah. So,
I mean, we'll see on the walk. People would be interested in making it as easy as possible and not as restrictive as it sounds like what you
hope. The impression.
So I have one. Did anyone else have something that they wanted to say or comment on from the committee? So I understand, like, let's look at standards and criteria. I think before we did decide to do the boundary walks, one of the assignments for the committee was for each committee member to go and walk around themselves and mark up a map of what they thought that the boundary should be, like what buildings they thought should be in and out. And so what I would encourage the committee members to do is to go and take that walk on their own, take one of these maps, mark the buildings and the areas that each thing should be, and bring that to the next meeting so we can take a look at that on the bigger map, because I think it is hard to be in here and trying to recall. I went on both boundary walks, you know, so I went on one in July and one in September, like, separated by a lot of time, and now we're at the end of October, and so, you know, people's visual and verbal memory degrades over time. So I think going around on a map and for yourself, looking without the noise of other people around, and that was our original assignment that I think we waived in favor of
of having the staff walk us around and talk about the buildings and answer general questions to say, like, where do you think it should be? Like, what do the buildings you think really belong in an area and look like they go together? And then when we're talking about contributing buildings, you'll have more of an idea with your own map in front of you of, like, is that a building I think is contributing or not?
Yeah. And you might erase that and move it and, you know, think of it as your own document as we talk about all these different, the major set of styles.
So the never here is just an invitation to the other folks in the room. I mean, you know, that's something that anyone in the neighborhood can do and submit.
Comment
as well. Right. So I would also just encourage kind of like other folks in Charleston who are interested, you can also mark up that happen.
Yeah, because I just think it's hard in the abstract to keep coming back, even when we're meeting every 2 weeks, and not have something of your own in front of you that says this is what I think. Because otherwise it's hard. Even I'm getting turned around on the street names, and I've been here for a long time, and I'm like, wait, okay, which way are we looking? You know, it's because everyone has a different way of thinking about things visually or verbally, and having your own notes and being able to share them is, I think, really helpful. So I would ask the committee members to do that, and we'll ask the people who weren't here to do that. And of course, everyone is in the community is welcome to submit written comments of their own. So I think we have about 10 minutes left, so we could take some public comment on what people think about the boundaries. Is there anything else that staff wanted to make sure we talked about in terms of the boundaries?
I really just want to flag one last thing for everyone that I
find to be an important line in here in our neighboring legislation about protection areas. And it supports some things that have been said by committee members about what's a protection area and what's going to be a landmark restricted, how do you stop, where's the line, and why do you have looks like this and that. This line up here starts the landmark district. Did the commission may designate any area of the city a protection area as herein provided upon finding by the commission that the area to be designated is visually related to the district, but is not necessarily of sufficient historical, social, cultural, architectural, or aesthetic significance to warrant designation as such. So it's not saying just because something's in the protection area, it's less significant. It's just kind of gives you a little bit more of an ability, I think, to make something be in a protection area without having to worry about, well, the narrative, the significance. It doesn't have to be really as much. So you have a little bit more flexibility. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make sure everyone knew that.
Did we also want to talk tonight about the outreach talk, or are we not going to get to that?
I don't think we have time, but can we move it to the next one? But we'll be a lot of time on getting that set up, publicizing where it's going to be at, and how it's going to look.
Okay. Yeah. And I think in
so
that
we,
piece,
and we discussed before you came in, Antia, like just sort of the.
Yeah, you got the tail.
Yeah, so like all the meetings are noticed already out on the public, city's public notice. They're on the website. Slides from all the previous meetings are now uploaded on the public website, Landmarks website. So.
And copies of the
Copies are at the
and
library.
Two copies.
There are two copies are printed out and at the library for people that don't have online access or want to look at it in paper or want to make copies of certain maps and things like that from the slide decks. So that's all there and available to people. There are going to be ads in the Patriot Bridge. It was in under this week's like happenings in Charlestown. So there's been a lot more communication. And that's just where we are.
Great.
Okay. So we'll start. Maybe we can start next week with just talking a little bit about the public engagement event, like when we think it's best to do the first one, and then we can move into the standards and criteria. But I think even to have that conversation between now and our next meeting, I'd like the committee members to take that walk on their own around and decide and kind of for themselves mark what they think should be in and out of the landmark district. And I think if you have sort of like the guidelines, but I think if you have specific questions, you can reach out to the landmark staff if you have specific questions. Okay. All right. Anything else?
or what we're doing next time, or thoughts?
Okay. All right. Public comment. Does anybody have a question?
Okay, I have
4 points
that I just quickly
wrote.
Oh, sorry,
do
you want name?
Oh, yeah, please. Name and...
Name about St. Prescott Street.
Okay.
It would be nice, you're discussing the differences between the entity code, the landmark, and the protected area. It would be nice if you could produce a chart that everybody could see, because everybody keeps asking, well, what if this happens, but what if this happens, but what if this happens? And how is the different units compared to each other? But if you need a chart, at least if it's rudimentary, even if it's rudimentary, it would be a starting point for everybody to discuss it, and it would be clear to people. Because this is good here, but it's not good here, but it's good over here. You know, that kind of thing. Second thing is that the protection area that you define, you seem to have stopped in the middle of the Town Hill Historic District and only included half of it.
I can answer that if you want me to, Nancy.
Well, do you want to finish the sentence? Or
sorry,
you
sorry,
just
sorry.
Why that happened?
Yeah, why did that happen when you got half of Harvard Mall in it and the other half is out of it? You've got half of the Tontine Crescent, which is a new construction, but the other half is not in it. You don't include City Square. You don't include... the Edward Everett House and the Harvard Block, which is a major historic group of buildings. So it doesn't make any sense that you don't include the earliest part of the city of Charlestown in the district. You only put half of it.
Okay, so like right now this is just proposed and it's based
based
off of the original model area.
So that's enough of that.
Gabriella, did you have a
Just a very simple answer. At the last meeting, I don't know if you remember, the committee was drawing on this whole map, and I did a very literal transcription of the highlighting marker on here, and when I was making this, I noticed it cut through there, and I figured that wasn't an accurate representation of it.
That was not definitely the highlighter.
I was like, working.
I think what would really be helpful is if you submit your own, like if you got a handout, and annotate with a cover letter saying these are the particular areas where things should be included, and you can send it right to her.
Last time was a piece of paper.
I got more
this time.
Okay.
Some days we have cards. Some days we don't.
Some days
I don't. You mentioned survey of historic buildings. There is a survey done many, 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 many years ago. It's in the library. I don't know if it's been digitized yet, but it's a working example of, I think, a couple of hundred buildings in Charlestown that have been reviewed and traced their history back, and they're important.
It's in the branch library?
It's in the branch library.
Is it in their special Charlestown collection?
I believe so. The other thing is that the CPS produced they published a manual of the vernacular of Charlestown architecture. It's a tool for developers showing all the important architectural styles and all the important architectural details and how they all work together and work in different buildings. So, and it's a wonderful document. I don't know if there are any more copies kicking around, but CBS should have the artwork for it, and they should publish it again.
I think I have one.
You have one? I've been desperately trying to get one.
Okay.
I've worked on it, and I never got a copy.
Okay.
So this is Preservation
so
Society
that's my,
has
those
it?
Those are my points.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else?
That's nice.
I know, but I'm going to get to you.
So I have a quick question. You mentioned protection areas limited to 1,200 feet from the landmark.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
When I look at the protection area of the south end and some of these other areas, it looks like it's way bigger. Am I looking at it wrong, or
like a long.
So it has a much bigger landmark district than, I guess.
Yeah, the landmark district's huge.
Okay, right,
yeah.
that's what's causing it. Okay.
Can we limit them to what we're talking about here, which is the boundaries?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay.
So, my first question is, you've included now the training field. Are you including the grass within the fence and the tablets that speak to the Revolutionary War? That's
what
the
you
first question. Yeah, that's a big one. The next one is, it's a question for Antia, because you mentioned it. Are you aware that, do you know what year Monument Act was created? Because it's much later than most people think. It's 1871. And so when I hear the committee talking about the feeling of historic, what I'm hearing is about the feeling of wealth. And I'm very concerned that you have the potential to include a very historic area at the base of Reeds Hill, which is where the public housing sits today, and you're going out of your way to create a protection area that does not include it. I want to just mention also that the name of this district is Monument Square. There would be no Monument Square, A, had it not been for the battle, and B, had the Bunker Hill Monument Association not sold the land beneath the housing to pay for it. So it really, there's like this struggle to find a unifying element when there's an elephant in the room, and that is the battle. And if you're using criteria B at all, are you?
No.
Okay. No.
Why not? It talks about military sites. It seems like there's 12 to 14 different architectural genres in Charlestown. So you would need, it just makes it much more complicated than it needs to be. And so, yeah, Monument Street, but I mean, Dan was saying, why are you cutting things off? I see that Monument Street is in there, a quarter of it. Do you know what year Monument Street was designed, Elizabeth or India? You've mentioned these. 1839. It's older than Monument Ave. So when you talk about the feeling of history, be clear, you're talking about the feeling of wealth. This is discrimination based on income, and it's ugly.
So do you have other comments?
No, I'm done.
Okay.
For
okay.
Now, but I mean, I'm working on a great letter to the editor.
Yeah,
so, well,
well,
you don't have to respond directly because I actually have a problem with them calling out individual. You can if you'd like to, but I don't want anyone on this committee to feel that they have to feel like they're being called out by any particular individual.
I'd like to.
And, okay, go ahead.
No, I don't know the dates because I'm not a historian. I don't have reference maps in front of me, and I think that's why I came in on the staff last year, that I think is doing really maps and the data, so I am relying certainly on the staff for that kind of insight, but I'll take you at your word that you know the dates, and I think that's helpful information. In terms of discrimination, I will say, as the only person of color in the room, pretty sure, unless someone wants to say that that's not true, I think it's a little outrageous to accuse me of discrimination.
I'm accusing the whole committee. Not you directly.
Well,
yeah.
You directed it at me. So
let me take it back. I'm directing it at the whole committee.
Oh, thank you. All right. And anyway, my whole life, my whole career is dedicated to supporting affordable housing, and so I think that it's a priority, and I think that that's a different priority from the priority of preserving the history of Charlestown in terms of the architectural elements of Charlestown. So I don't think anyone here would say that the projects as they exist today.
They don't go by the projects.
Represent the architectural district standards that we're talking
this
about.
This is a landmark district. It's not an architectural district. Remember?
It's landmark district.
Yeah.
And I do
based
think.
Based
on architecture.
Based on a plan to develop
it. Based on the plan.
Training field,
yeah. Okay. So you're done with your comments.
Yes,
and Tia has responded to the direct question to her.
The tablets are architecture?
I had a question.
Okay, what is your question?
Is there something in the BLC's rules that limits the size of the protection area?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Is this 1,200 feet, that's the maximum?
Yeah, see right there in the bottom right.
You know, I'm here, I've heard a couple times, you know, if you go back to the map, you know, I'm looking at that protection area, and I've walked every foot of that protection area with my dogs, and outside that protection area, and there's really no way to distinguish what's outside of that protection area from what's inside. I mean, the neighborhood's the same. They feel the same. The architecture is the same. It's a mishmash of brick houses and clapboard row houses. And so to say that, it just seems kind of arbitrary for this neighborhood where there's such a mishmash of styles to say, well, I can't see that part. But to say like, you know, Elm Street needs to be in a protection area, but one block over that's outside that looks exactly the same shouldn't be. And so I think that feeling to me sort of exposes a potential fallacy with the premise that's happening here, which is
that's one of the reasons that some people could argue it should only be the original petition area then, right?
Or what I was going to say, all of Charlestown.
Yeah.
So part of order.
Well, I mean, like if you're gonna tell me that there's something so special about Elm Street that needs to be protected,
but I think these are things that we talked about. I understand what you're saying. But I do think we did talk at the beginning about one, why the battlefield was not a unifying feature. The battlefield's been written over so many times you couldn't possibly do
it. All it needs
to
be is a site where events happened.
Now there is,
you
have your own organization, Joanna, about trying
to
establish
that. Yeah, I have a study committee that was established by the CNC, and you were the only one to vote against it.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Okay, so I'm going to go back to the point of order. So this is excellent feedback about what you're saying, but we've talked about, we've talked about that. And I mean, I think Elizabeth can talk again about the unifying theme, but we are running at the end of time, and these are things that you can submit. These are speeches rather than questions, and I think you can submit them as a letter.
I think in terms of what makes it unified, I asked a question. We can talk about it.
I think that that's a sincere question, and I think the sincere response is that's not what this particular committee was established to look at. This particular committee was established in response to a very specific, smaller square than where we've ended up, which, to Ian's point earlier, around the monument, right? So that doesn't mean that, like, your imagination and sort of civic capacity and eagerness is the limit of what's possible.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's just not what this committee is.
It's not what we can do.
There's been a decision to even add the protection area. So it's just...
Does there have to be one?
No.
We're trying to talk about pros and cons
and just understanding the
nuances.
That's what I'm trying to understand, too.
So, yeah, so this is the committee doing its work.
Somebody else, a group of 30 petitioners.
10. All you need is 10.
Bring in their own proposal for all of
the problem, though, is that Boston says that anything before annexation is not their history, and therefore they won't be asked.
It's not.
The question that I don't think got answered was what about the park space within the train field? I think the answer is that that's not part of it. It's what's around it, even though in the map it's sort of included in the gray zone.
I mean, this is all in theory, and none of this exists also.
So could it be? I think the question is, could and would it be? Because I think what we've heard before is that the national park that where the monument sits cannot and would not be. Because that also applies to all trains. Or it's okay if the staff has to say
I have to, like, think harder about it. I literally just have to think about this because I'm trying to think.
We'll
come up on the cell phone.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Adjourn. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All right. Our meeting is adjourned. I'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Thank you.